James chapter 1, please, and I have it in the NIV today. I like to mix them up sometimes. Sometimes it's good to do that. James chapter 1, how many of you need wisdom from time to time? Would that be pretty much all of us? We look at how many years in our lives we winged it on our own understanding and our own knowledge, and we grow in wisdom. But then when we get saved, you got to keep this thought in mind. The perspective, as the Bible says, that we have the mind of Christ. That means now, because we're born-again believers and the Holy Spirit indwells us, we're able to understand the heart of the Lord, or the mind of the Lord, if you will. But there are times when we don't know how to do something, and we don't have the wisdom or the understanding to accomplish that. And we're to ask the Lord for wisdom. And I like the way this is written. If any of you, James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8, if any of you, we're all included, us, lacks wisdom, you should ask God. Once, right, Peggy?
Right.
Okay? And it will be given to you. Imagine that. You ask God and he's going to give you something. Wow, what a concept. And it will be given to you. You can underline those words. But when you ask, are we picking up a strange signal in the room?
Oh, it's me. I'm sorry.
Oh.
I was trying to put it on.
Oh, okay. I don't know. A lot of electronic things have happened already this morning. I was wondering if I was competing with something.
I apologize.
Oh, that's okay. I'm just really happy you're here, so we can edit that portion out. That'll be good. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. Because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Now, let's look at that from God's perspective. We ask God for something. In this case, it's wisdom. But asking in faith is really important. You have to grow to that place where when you ask, you already know that he's heard what your request is. But to doubt, when you start doubting, that's when we get double-minded. We're for what we ask 1 minute, and then it didn't happen in a week, and we think, oh, I got to ask again, and we start doubting. A couple of life examples, because it's good to share how the Word works in our lives. When Faith and I got saved in Florida, we were like little kids in a new candy box. All these things, these treasures in the Bible, were right there ready for us to start learning and receiving. And we had an old beat-up Buick that was all rusted out from Vermont, and we traded it in, and we really believed, God, that we would be able to buy a new car without a down payment because we didn't have one. And that car was beat to the max, that old car, and we thought they'll just haul it off and put it out in their junkyard in the back and won't give us hardly anything for it. So we agreed in prayer and asked the Lord that we would be able to buy a new car. And so we started looking, and we went to a car dealer, found a car that we really liked. It was small, but very, very compatible with our income and gas mileage and all those things that you look for in a car. And we went in and filled out all the papers, and the salesman said, what am I going to give for a down payment? And we said, nothing. Well, you can't buy a car without a down payment. And besides that, you haven't lived down here long enough to establish any credit. No bank is going to give you any money. And I opened my big mouth, and I said, well, we prayed, and we're believing God's going to give us that car. I said that to the salesman. A week or so went by, and they, it takes a time to process things. And the salesman called, and he said, well, I told you this was going to happen. The bank said no. And we weren't too disappointed the first time. But then he called another time and he said, no, they're not. That bank won't do it either. And so then we worked for a very wealthy man who owned this big, huge golf course in Naples, Florida. Maybe he'll give us some money for a down payment. And as soon as we said that, we knew that we had wavered. We repented of that, and the next day the salesman called and said, you got the car. I don't know how you did it, but you got the car. And just doubting. And sometimes that can happen in any other thing too. You ask the Lord and you pray and you don't see something happen the minute you ask. And doubt is different than unbelief. Jesus chastised his disciples often for doubt and unbelief. And I often wondered what was the difference. When you're confronted with the evidence of the reality of God, his presence, and you choose to reject that and flat out say, I'm not believing that, after you've seen all the evidence of him in his presence and you reject that, that's unbelief. Doubt is opposite. You see all the evidence, but you haven't made a decision that you're not going to believe. You're still kind of in limbo. So doubt is you've seen the evidence, but you're not quite there yet to really release your faith 100% for what you've asked for. And of course the enemy can come in with all the thoughts that he likes to put in our minds. Oh, who do you think you are? God of the universe, you think he's going to care about you? Na 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 na, and try to talk all this trash in your head. But doubt is something that can be overcome by getting the word into us so that our minds are renewed, because doubt is in the mind. And it's so important to renew our minds to the word. A couple other things in these verses. God gives generously. He's El Shaddai. He's not El Cheapo. That's all the Spanish I know today. So just know who you're asking. Know who you're asking. And it says, and he doesn't upbraid us. He doesn't find fault. He doesn't look down and think, oh, you little worm. Ah, you're asking me? And look at you. He doesn't find fault. God meets us where our faith is at. Always remember that. Jesus said, be it unto you according to your faith. Not mine, not Laurie's, not Jesse's, your faith. And he will meet you according to your faith. So that's really important. Don't look at others. Look at yourself. And when you bring your petitions before the Lord, always know that he's not going to upbraid you or get on your case because you asked him for wisdom. When you ask, you must believe. Once again, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. Whatever we ask, if it's based in the word, you have what you ask. Mark 11 talks about those things, about when you pray, believe you receive it, and you will have whatsoever you say. We've done lots of studies about our words. And one thing that happens with words is sometimes we change our minds. And that's another thing about the getting into doubt. James says it's like a wave of the sea, and it's blown and tossed by the wind. The wave comes in, the wave goes out, the wind blows the foam off the top of off the waves, if you've been by the ocean in a strong windstorm. And think about it this way. If you've already asked the Lord for something, and then you get into doubt, it causes you to change your mind. Well, some people, I think God gives special grace for those who have a hard time keeping their mind set, and they change it 10 times in a day. But the thing about that is, He wants to honor what you've asked him for, but if you change your mind, what's he going to do midstream? It puts what you asked in limbo until your heart is set in what you've asked for. See, that's another aspect of doubt, as you start wavering and you start doubting. And James said that person who does this, it's not a good report. He said, let not that person expect to receive anything from the Lord. Because if we can't make up our minds before we ask, or we change our mind after we have, how can we expect to receive something? If you asked me to give you a ride to Brattleboro, because you needed a ride down to Brattleboro, so I go and I fill up my gas tank and I adjust my schedule and accommodate you, and then you change your mind and say, no, I want to go to Burlington. I'm in limbo because I might not have the time to go that far. If you thought you were going to go to Burlington, you should have asked me to take you there. So this thing about asking, and like Peggy said, we only need to ask once. I know God is Ancient of Days, and he's always been, and you might think that he's really old, but his hearing is excellent. We don't have to yell, we don't have to holler, we don't have to scream. He's as close as a mention of his name. If all you have time to yell out is help, he heard you. Because his spirit dwells within each of us. So don't be afraid to ask him. Find what you're looking for in the Word and base your prayer on scriptures. Because God has already said it. And my Bible says that we walk by faith, not by sight. Faith in what God has said, because we consider the author of the words that we're putting our faith in. We're putting our faith in the author and finisher of our faith. So it's really important. Don't wait until you see it before you believe.
It also says that God knows what you want before you even ask him.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and that's for our sake, isn't it? Amen. Yes, there are just some things that we can't do on our own. We can't live our faith lives out without the Holy Spirit and his help. He's our strengthener. He's our standby. So anyway, apply that, take it, and go with it this week. If you were having any doubts about what you've asked the Lord for, settle your doubt, make a statement of faith, make a declaration of faith, and stand on it. And adding thanksgiving is really important. That first opening song, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. Every time we come into the Lord's presence, thanksgiving is really, really big. Thanksgiving says to the Lord, I believe you. I believe you, I believe you. And whatever I've asked, whatever I've released my faith for, I believe you. And thanksgiving establishes that. When you say thank you, it's done. And a lot of times people forget the importance of thanking God after you've asked. And make that a real big part of your prayer. Prayers of thanksgiving will go a long ways. And I know some of you have testified to that, so prayer and thanksgiving go together. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's take a few minutes, greet each other. Mm-hmm.